This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast. It's David and Nikki Nellis. Nick Stefanelli just asked me if I could still get a brew and a burger for 20 bucks. I don't know. Somewhere.
I don't know.
Maybe
anybody?
Somewhere. All right. So we got a great show. We got a lot going on.
I know. The studio is full.
Look at all these.
And
all
I smell sugar. Lots of it.
All our peeps is here. All right. So we're going to start off. You guys might remember us talking months ago, but about the Reading Connection and an event that they do every year called Wine and Words. And we've got pastry chef Rob Valencia from Lion Hall and Bill DeRosier of Tallgrass Brewing. They're out of Manhattan, Kansas. And they're both in supporting Courtney Kissel, who's the executive director of the Reading Connection. They help at-risk children and families fall in love with words, I guess, and reading. That's a good way of putting it. So they're in. We're going to be talking about the event.
It should be a lot of fun.
Now,
I am watching Chris Fulton over here. He is from LaMille Coffee at the Four Seasons in Baltimore. He's got like a science experiment of coffee props that he is setting up over there. So later in the show, he's going to be pouring lots of different coffees for us and all these different contraptions. And I'm going to be tweeting out pictures of what this all looks like because it's fabulous.
And so far, we've had guests that are all at peace with each other. And now we've got two that are going to duke it out.
I know. Gauntlet thrown. We just I just tweeted out a great picture of Mary Kong and Russell Warnick, who are participating in the
the American Lamb Pro Am.
It's a lot of words to remember.
That's easy for you to say.
I know. So anyway, the battle is happening. Nick Stefanelli is in studio because he is one of the participating chefs. We're going to hear all about that. And
if you're a lamb, you don't want to know Nick, right?
No.
You end up, that's my line. Nikki. All right, enough of that. Embraceable you.
Yeah, did you mention the beer when you mentioned Tallgrass Brewing? Did we get Tallgrass Brewing? Okay, just making sure we got everybody. And the Annapolis Food and Wine Festival is coming up. That's coming up in March. And in with us to talk all about it is Jim Barthold and Owen Connors. Now, Owen brought in a glorious amount of wine, which we're going to be tasting later on, and we're going to find out all about that festival later in the show.
But first, we're going to start with Chris.
Are you ready for us?
Come on back to the microphone,
hey.
Chris.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Chris Fulton is the manager of LaMille. Is it LaMille Coffee?
LaMille Coffee. Yeah. Somehow they allow me to run that place.
We met with you there.
You know your stuff. you know what you're doing.
But let's talk about LaMille. LaMille is in the new Four Seasons in Baltimore. It's
correct.
Gorgeous. The hotel's gorgeous. Your shop is gorgeous.
Thank you.
And LaMille is to coffee what champagne is to champagne. Is that a way of putting it? LaMille is the coffee shop and coffee to have out in L.A., and this is the first move to the East Coast.
Yeah, from L.A. to Baltimore. So that typically doesn't happen too often.
No. It's really usually the reverse. Well, so tell us a little bit about what LaMille Coffee is, because a lot of people on the East Coast are not really familiar with it.
Yeah, and one of those people was actually me before I got the job. So I found about the position, and I said, LaMille Coffee, what is that? Mm-hmm. And I went online and did a Google search. You know, all I really found was information about, you know, Ryan Gosling walking out of LaMille Coffee or Kate Hudson, so I was just like, okay,
name dropper.
That kind of
You're
thing.
A name dropper.
That, they never yeah. said David and Nikki Nellis.
No, they didn't, unfortunately. But you know, you guys are a little under the radar, a little bit, right? But yeah, LaMille is actually it's a roaster based out of Los Angeles, and it was actually founded in 1997. Craig Mann, who's the CEO and founder, took it over from his father when he was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And Craig's been roasting coffee all his life. I think from around when he was 12. They mostly deal with wholesale accounts, and actually opened up the boutique. They had a retail location over in Silver Lake. in 2001. Mm-hmm. And so so dealing with wholesale accounts and dealing with luxury hotels and restaurant groups, such as Michael Mina Group, that kind of where that's where that partnership came together.
Yeah, but that's brand new. I mean, this is a new partnership with Michael Mina, isn't
it? No, it's not. Actually, they, they've been providing coffee for Michael Mina Group for a while now, so for their different restaurants.
No, but this, but at Baltimore
the retail
Four Seasons.
The retail location is very new, but it's the first of many to come, for sure.
Okay, well, that's
all right, well, we're going to let you get to brewing.
Well, well, wait a second. You brought a couple, we have a minute.
Do we? Okay.
You brought a couple of contraptions. Tell us what you brought and what you're going to be brewing for us first.
I would love to.
And
so,
how.
Great, yeah. The coffee that I brought with us is a single origin coffee, so that means a coffee from a particular area. Mm-hmm. And most times, single origin can be traced down to a particular area, country, farm, region, most times as well, too.
Okay.
So, the coffee we have today is called Kenya Get Them Weenie.
Excuse me, stop that. Kenya Get Them Weenie?
Get Them Weenie, so get those weenies. So, if you want to think about it, get those hot dogs. This is the way I always remember it until my staff
that makes
remembers
me curl up right to hear that.
Yeah, so it doesn't taste like hot dogs at all, but you know.
No pork flavor.
No pork flavor added to it, all natural. But Kenya Get Them Weenie, so it's from the Get Them Weenie estate. It's a Kenya AA coffee, so that's, you know, the highest grade of coffee, you know, over in Kenya. And it's the elevation is a really big thing with growing growing coffee as well, too. So 1,800 meter elevation, so very, very high. So that's the coffee we have today. We'll talk about the flavors for it later on. But the methods I have here, three different methods. One is the hand drip, and that's the way we make most of our coffee at LaMille Coffee. It's really fast, really easy, quick setup, quick cleanup as well, too.
But well, when I see that, honestly, it makes me think of my mom when I was, like, in the 70s. Like,
yeah.
She would put a pot on the stove and just, you know, pour it in.
Pour right over top of it, yeah.
And your mom said, can you get them weenie coffee?
No, I'm pretty sure it's like Folgers or something.
Folgers, yeah. Same difference,
this was the 70s, come on.
Yeah, you know.
All right, well, we're going to let you make your coffee.
Great.
And we're going to start with a little lamb throwdown, right?
Well, awesome. Yeah, we've got Nick Stefanelli in from Bibiana. Hello, Nick.
How are you?
Long time no see.
And Mary Kong and Russell Warnick need some intro. They are highly regarded food bloggers.
Well, and writers, both of them. They do more than just
Mary,
blog.
Mary, you twitch, but you are highly regarded. And you're both, I guess, finalists in the Lamb Pro-Am, and I'm going to ask Nick to explain that.
Yes.
Tell
give us a 411.
Lamb Jam and all that stuff.
Well, the Lamb Pro-Am is like a big cage match. They're going to throw us all in together, and we get to duke it out.
Is there raw meat involved? That's what I want to know.
There was at one point.
So it's cooked now. But so it pairs a chef with a food
with a bugger.
But that's not how it started. So let's start from the beginning.
It started with there was, I believe it was 12 bloggers, got a big bag of lamb, and they got to go home and do whatever they wanted with it.
Bag of lamb.
But where did the lamb come from?
Craig Rogers
Craig
at Border Springs.
We
yes, he did.
Craig. The shepherd.
The shepherd himself. And then it went to an online forum where everybody got to vote on who had the best recipes. The top four finalists are then paired up with four chefs. Mm-hmm. And then we go in and we help to tweak the recipe more for a larger tasting format because it's more of like a Taste of the Nation taste around.
Okay.
It's going to be held at the Hotel Palomar
next
Sunday, 3 to 5.
Okay.
And then from there, it's a People's Choice Award on Best Dish.
Okay.
So...
All right. Well, I
Well, wait a minute. Let's make sure. That's the Kimpton Hotel down on P Street.
Yes. Correct.
In Urbana.
We
right?
love that place. Yeah, we just had John Critchley in a couple of weeks ago. He's
We ate heart.
We did.
Ah.
And tongue.
You know what? It was delicious. It just feels weird. But.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, so Mary and Russell, why don't you guys come up to the mic for a quick sec? What got you guys involved with this program? Were you just like, yeah, I love competition. Bring it on?
Honestly, I don't know how I got involved. They emailed me.
Mm-hmm.
They emailed me and asked if I wanted to participate, but really on my blog, I don't cook, so
right.
I thought it was unusual that they asked, but
okay.
I'm always up for a challenge.
Excellent. And Russell, I know you're competitive. I know this is your kind of thing.
Well, I got an email. I've been to a few American Lamb Board events in the past, so they, I guess I was on their radar, and they sent an email, and... 2 weeks later, we picking up 7 pounds of lamb from Bibiana. From
that sounds like an awful lot of lamb.
It was yes.
Were you surprised by the amount of lamb?
Yeah, and it was for the dish that I made, the lamb nachos. I used about 2 pounds of it. But
what cut of lamb were you given? I mean, were you given just random cuts?
They were all given lamb legs. Everybody got the same cut.
Yeah.
So we all have the same cut.
So there were a bunch of lambs
use.
Walking around with no legs?
Pretty much.
Terrible.
Well, just like three lambs.
Yeah. And they're not walking because they have no legs.
To get their legs, did you have to pull the wool over their eyes?
Stupid. Okay. All right. So, what is each of your dish? What did you both? We got lamb nachos.
Welsh rabbit lamb nachos.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Mary?
And I got, I made a Chinese barbecue roast lamb with rice noodles.
Okay, great.
Very
All right.
Long title.
So, who are we starting with? Are we letting Russell cook his up first? Or are we letting Mary? All right. You go to work.
Okay.
And we'll come back to you both in just a little bit. Okay.
All right.
All right. Now, what are we doing next?
We're going to be talking about the reading connection.
Oh,
come
right.
on, step up to that mic. Let's go.
Nick.
We've got, again, pastry chef Rob Valencia, who is a return guest.
Yes, right. We first met on Mother's Day last year.
That's correct.
Right. He's in from Lion Hall in Arlington. Are you Clarendon or Arlington?
We'll go with Clarendon. A little more site specific.
Okay. And in with him is Bill DeRozier of Tallgrass Brewing out of Manhattan, Kansas.
That's right.
Man. They grow them tall out there, even though I know you're from Chantilly. And Courtney Kissel, who's the executive director of the Reading Connection. Courtney, why don't you talk about Reading Connection and the event, and then we'll talk to these two dudes.
Right. Absolutely. Good morning. It's nice
Hi,
to see you
it's
guys
good to see
again.
You again. Thanks for coming in.
Sure. I'm delighted to be here. One of the great things about this event is that we are able to bring in such wonderful people to support us. So I'll
well,
let
look
them
look at them
talk
preening
about
when you say that. I am wonderful.
The Reading Connection is a children's literacy organization, and we work with children who are in homeless shelters, domestic violence shelters, transitional housing throughout the Arlington, D.C. region. Mm-hmm. And we have volunteers that read to kids, provide them with new books that are theirs to keep. And what we're here for today is to talk about our signature fundraising event of Wine and Words, where we bring in local restaurants and wine and beer. And it's a really fun evening with a silent auction, really fun.
So crowd. Why isn't it a Wine and Beer and Words?
I know, right?
We might have to consider changing it.
We'll see how Bill does this year, and then maybe we'll consider.
Oh, it's going to be a test, Bill. Are you up to the challenge?
No
better
a test.
You should call it of getting loopy, and then let's see if we can pronounce words. It's gonna be better, I think.
All right. Well, let's start with you. So, Bill, tell us a little bit about Tallgrass Brewery, because I wasn't really familiar with it until I did some reading online.
Well, we've only been out in Virginia for about a year, so most people haven't heard of us, but we're one of 12 breweries out in Kansas. Mm-hmm. Our owner, Jeff, was a home brewer, and so we have these two beers here, the ale and the IPA, and that's the name, ale and IPA, and they're very uncreative.
Very creative,
but the reason
really
is
creative.
When you're brewing them in your garage for your buddies, they don't really care if it has a cheeky name. You just say, hey, I brewed more of the ale, and they come over and drink your free beer. So.
Mm-hmm.
Why we have a radio show.
Yeah, well, you get to
start pouring, Bill. We're not joking. Yeah.
You guys are ready for me. We'll crack some cans.
You want to stay on the air, pour the beer.
I love my job. You give people free beer, no one ever kicks you out. So we're going to run down. We're actually, our brewer, our owner, was an environmental geologist, and when he turned 30, his wife said, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? And he had the audacity to say, I want to start a brewery. Best wife in the world. So she let him go for it, and here he is today, 5 years later, and he's in 15 states, and he's brewing 7 different beers year round.
I have to stand up. She's the second best wife in the world.
Yeah, he needs to kiss up.
That's
me.
Right.
There's another throwdown. I see.
No, I'm in the doghouse here.
Right,
here you
thank
go.
You.
So I'm pouring our ale right now. This is a very light bodied. It's only 4.4%, but it's got 5 different malts and 3 different hops.
Thank
and
you.
Chef, maybe you can back me up. If you're trying to use a lot of ingredients but keep something kind of light, it has to be very well balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Who else needs some beer?
Give it to Nick behind you.
Yeah.
All right. And Russell. Okay, so how did they come up with all the different kinds of beer?
Jeff, our owner, started with what he liked. So he likes IPAs and he likes brown ales, and so that's what he went with. He knows them.
Mm-hmm.
From there, he came up with Buffalo Sweat and Oasis. Those were two products of the brewery. There used to be a bison farm right outside of town. And,
that's very cool.
So that's actually a cream ale, and Oasis is an Imperial ESB, very hoppy. So he brews based on his own palate. He brews what he likes to drink, and it's worked out well that the rest of America also likes what
now,
he
what
likes.
Now, what is Velvet Rooster?
Velvet Rooster is our newest beer. It's a Belgian-style triple.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a Kansas-Belgian triple, if you will, but it's an 8.5% beer. And Belgians have a really high alcohol content, but they have a really nice kind of floral candy sweetness to them to hide all that alcohol.
So like Delirium? I mean, was that sort of what we're going for
the
here?
The same style. The difference is this is a lot less carbonation than a normal Belgian triple.
Mm-hmm.
And so personally, that's why I like it. I've also been sampling these 5 beers around Virginia for the last year, so the fact that I have a new one to let people taste,
All right, we're going to let you open it, but we do have to take a break.
Sure.
And when we come back, we're going to talk more about all these donuts that Chef brought in, and coffee is going to go perfectly with that.
The noise you hear in the background is water boiling and coffee brewing.
All right, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
Max out your privacy settings on social networks. Restrict as much as you can what people can see of you. Close all your old accounts. Chances are it's got an email that you've reused. They could guess the maiden name of your mother or your first pet or something.
Yeah.
A lot of the celebrities whose email accounts were hacked, their challenge question was something that you could look up on the internet.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
So we're back on Foodie and the Beast, and we got the folks from the Reading Connection in here, and Rob Valencia from Lion Hall. He's the pastry chef, I was going to say par excellence, but now that I just realized I don't speak French. But he's an amazing pastry chef with an amazing array of stuff that he brought in.
And donuts? What made you bring in donuts?
Because Sunday morning, what else do you eat?
Oh, well, that's a good
besides
point.
Drinking beer from a
but he's also restaurant. Right. you were involved with Wine and Words previously, right?
Yeah, this will be my first year with them. Our restaurant group, this is our second year with Wine and Words.
I know I had something right. Whatever. Yeah. So tell us about it.
Yeah, how'd you get involved and tell us like what your role is and what you're doing?
Well, my role with the I'm the chef chair, so I'll be leading the front of the culinary addition to the event. We have 10 restaurants coming, mm-hmm. including our group Lion Hall, Restaurant 3, Lebanese Taverna, Eventide, and Mangiano's, and the Artisan Confections and Cabot Cheese Cooperative. So a lot of Arlington-based. Groups
restaurants.
That would be
Artisan Confections, they're the chocolate folks.
We
just had them in. Yes. We did a port and chocolate tasting on
He's
air.
A great guy,
so
isn't
much
he?
Fun.
Yeah, he's a good
it
guy.
It was delicious.
So
is it just a tasting? Everybody just walks around, has little tastes?
Exactly.
And like, so tell us what you're making.
We'll be making macaroon. We'll be making macaroons and cookies and mm-hmm. a lot of the small tarts that we feature at Northside Social.
Okay.
I mean, is there a thought to what's going to taste good with a beer and or a glass of wine, or is it just?
Well, we've been sampling a lot of the tall grass over at Northside Social lately, so.
So you offer it there?
We offer that there.
Okay.
Yes.
Can I have a taste? I want to try the velvet.
The velvet rooster?
Yeah.
I had the buffalo sweat, which is delicious.
Excellent. So, Bill, will you be pouring all of these at the event?
I will. And in fact, our owner, Jeff Gill, is going to come out here and join us. So he's flying out to Roslyn from Kansas for this event. And we're hoping that we can get his expertise to let everyone know where this beer has come from.
I'm not a tremendous beer drinker, but I have an interest in it. And I think these are all really interesting. I know you are. You're a beer drinker. It's very interesting. It's good.
I'd like you to try our wheat. Kansas is the wheat state, after all.
Okay, of course.
We waited 5 years to make this, and it's a little different than all the other wheats on the market.
It's called Halcyon.
Halcyon, yep. We've used a hop called Citra right at the end, and mm-hmm. so instead of that banana nut flavor you get with a lot of wheat beers, this has a very crisp, tropical finish to it, so it's very unique.
Okay,
I will be your beer expert.
All right, let's give a final shout-out to all the where the event is, how people can get involved. Let's give everything in.
Absolutely. So the event's on Friday, March 9th at 7 o'clock at the Boeing Building in Arlington, Virginia.
Okay.
And tickets are available online for $75 at thereadingconnection.org.
Okay, great. Guys, thank you so much for coming in. Now, I just have to ask, what kind of donuts did you bring in before we dig in?
We brought four different types of donuts. Two yeasted. One is roasted strawberry. The other one is dulce de leche. And two cake donuts. One is a carrot cake with candied pecans. And the other one is chocolate mole.
Made with cocoa mole. Rob is not getting off the air until David tastes some of this stuff.
Okay, you're going to have to pass it down, apparently.
Pass it over here, son.
Pass it over. And I didn't try the wheat beer. Where's the wheat beer?
Right here.
Okay. Did you like it?
God bless you, Rob. Look at this.
And holy Bill, cow. How did you get involved in beer?
Oh, I was telling these guys beforehand, I went to school out in Kansas, and that's how I met these guys. And at the time, it was just a college student finding beer on the other side of town. But I stayed in touch with them. I started brewing in my kitchen about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And they got started as home brewers, too. So
Home brewing has really taken off.
Absolutely. You think you're going to get into it and make really good beer for cheap, and then it doesn't work that way, but then you're hooked.
It's an expensive endeavor, isn't it?
It can be. It depends on how much you put into it.
Okay, great. Well, tell everybody where they can find your product. And where they can find you online.
Absolutely. So we're happy that they're doing this event in Northern Virginia because that's where we're distributed right now. You can find all six Tallgrass's cans in Total Wine. And as Chef Rob said, you can find a couple of them at Northside Social and around the area as well. So just keep looking for us. We'll be in and out.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
And go to Northside Social and Lion Hall for Chef Rob's unbelievable
Liberty Tavern. Don't forget Liberty.
I was just at Liberty.
Okay, and can we get a shout out for all three places? Tell everybody where you guys are, please.
We're located in the heart of Clarendon, just right off the Clarendon Metro. Lion Hall, Northside Social, and the Liberty Tavern.
Great. All right, guys, thank you so much. We'll see you at the event.
Thanks for having us. Thank you for having us. Thanks for the donuts.
Are we ready for coffee or are we ready for lamb? What are we going with first?
We're ready for lamb.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's see those nachos. Does anybody else want a donut? We have lots of donuts.
That's good.
Okay. So, Russell, tell us a little bit about your nachos, how you came up with the concept, and how you put it together.
We're going to make room. We're going to move the beer so we can make room for... I wish people... You know, it's too bad we're not filming this one today because you should see all this. This is gorgeous. Here.
So, I basically just wanted to showcase the meat, and I mean, I just roasted the lamb, came up with I altered the Welsh rabbit sauce to be a little bit more creamy.
For those who don't know about Welsh rabbit sauce, can you tell a little bit about it, please?
It's usually sort of a grilled cheese affair, I guess. This one has mustard, Worcestershire sauce.
Only an Englishman could say a grilled cheese affair.
I was going to say, there's no affairs on this show. Have you not met my husband?
It would be like, oh yeah, I made some grilled cheese, man.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's got Guinness, mustard, Worcestershire sauce, and a sharp English cheddar.
Okay, great.
All right, well, we're all going to take
a bite. And is this something you make? Do you make this regularly? I mean, how did you come up with the concept?
I used to. Many years ago, but not recently.
Okay.
But yeah.
I mean, when they called you, were you like, I know what I'm making?
No, I had no idea. I actually, before I got the meat, I did experiment with this, and I liked it. And I love bar food. Mm-hmm. Bar food's my thing, so.
It's delicious.
Good.
And how did you go about...
Is it sitting in front of the beers, too?
I know. I got a glass somewhere.
Okay, grab another one. So, now that you made this, and you're working with... What chef did you get paired with?
John Critchley of Ivana.
Okay. And so, what is he doing to the dish?
That would be revealing secrets.
No secrets.
Not with Mary here. No.
But
she's over there writing it down.
Yeah. I did go over to Ivana last night. To see the elevated dish that we will be serving at the event next week.
And what did you think of his changes?
I
mean, did you
sort
of like pride of authorship where you're like, don't change?
No, he did it. It was, he did it the way I would have liked to have done it. Yes, you'll just have to wait and see next week.
All right, we'll just have to wait. Great.
Wait a minute. Nick Stefanelli, did you get a taste?
I did.
Because you're judging.
He's judging.
A lot of pressure.
He is.
All right. Now we're going to go back to Chris. Boy, this show bounces around.
I know. All right, Chris.
Chris Fulton.
Do we have coffee?
LaMille coffee.
We do have coffee.
Okay.
So the first coffee we have is made in a method called the Eva Solo. So Eva Solo is actually a Danish kitchenwares company. So they
it looks like
have
you're
this...
making drugs over there.
You know.
Excuse me. Wait.
Pots and things
are boiling.
I don't know what
years.
That is.
How do you know what making drugs?
I watch TV.
Hey, just because I'm from Baltimore doesn't mean you know. But I'm
that was a cheap shot.
It was a cheap shot on my hometown. Okay. You know, so only I can do that. Can say that. So Eva Solo is a Danish company, and they do all these Danish kitchenwares. And this is kind of their take on the French press. So
do you just pull it out, like?
Sorry, this is this guy right here. Is
okay.
The first coffee that's prepared.
Okay.
Very much like a French press. So you grind your coffee coarse, keeps a lot of the natural oils that are found in coffee inside the coffee, and get a really well balanced, full body cup of coffee. So it's kind of an easy way to make coffee. You really just grind the beans, add hot water, and let it sit. It's kind of mm-hmm. like steeping tea.
Is there anything about the roasting process that LaMille does that's different?
Yes.
I mean, because, you know, we were down there. We watched you make, you did everything but kiss each bean before you ground it. So.
Well, I did it before you guys came. So.
Right. It's there's a lot of love.
What goes on behind the doors is my business.
Right.
What do you call that? Sick.
There's no term for it just yet, but I'm still working on it.
You're working on it.
Yeah, me and Audrey are working on it right now. The main thing that LaMille does is really special about all these new specialty coffee roasters is that they roast to order. So it's all about the freshness. So you saw that I was grinding beans. So it's all about waiting till last minute to grind the beans.
Mm-hmm.
I brought in bottled water because, you know, water makes up, you know, over 90% of the actual coffee when it's finished. So, of course, you don't have good water to start with. You're not going to have a coffee to finish with.
What kind of bottled water do you use?
Well, at LaMille, we actually have a special recipe for our water. So there's an actual recipe for the water. So believe it or not, but the water...
I don't believe it.
Wait, you
don't
have a water recipe when you add water? Thank you. You never know, you know, really?
It's two parts water, three parts water. Essentially,
that's going to be a tough one.
I know. I was trying to bounce off of it. You want to let me get my little spot in the sunshine? No?
Not okay. I'm the comedian here, pal.
So. This is your show. You're right. I'm sorry. Go back to Baltimore, he says. No, there's an actual recipe for the water. So essentially, it's the amount of what's called total dissolved solids that are actually in the water. So the water we have from the hotel is actually, believe it or not, too clean. And what that means is that it's so clean you can actually start tasting things from the water, and we don't want that. We want to have the nice, fresh, clean water taste to
okay.
it. So
everybody's taking pictures. It's so,
I know,
so
it's too clean.
Cool.
Like 7-Eleven just
so
recycled
it's pulling
exactly.
all the water up.
Correct.
Like
so this
in
is
a
actually
vacuum?
Just like a vacuum. This is a method called the siphon method, and it's made by a company called Hario. So Hario is a Japanese company, glassware company. So there's two chambers. Bottom chamber has water, which we heat up with a Bunsen burner,
mm-hmm.
and then the top chamber has the coffee and a cloth filter at the bottom. As the water heats up, I actually plunge the top chamber into the bottom chamber, and there's actually a rubber seal there.
Okay.
And that actually create that vacuum to suck the water up, which we see right here.
Mm-hmm.
And now in this top chamber, the water and the coffee are all brewing together. And we're going to brew for about 10 minutes. And about 10 seconds or so, I'm going to actually blast the heat up to kind of get some of the residual water down here from the bottom.
Okay.
And then you'll see what happens after that.
And what is the flavor that comes out? Like, what does it pull out of the coffee bean as opposed to another method? I mean, what does doing all this work for the coffee result in?
Well, in this one, it's a mixture of two different methods of making coffee. So one's the immersion method. So you have the water and the grinds interacting throughout the whole brew time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're going to find in a French press.
Okay.
And the other one is a filter method. So you're going to find that in an automatic drip coffee where the coffee is filtered through maybe a paper filter, or in this case, a cloth filter. So in this one, you have the best of both worlds. So the coffee is able to interact with the water in the mm-hmm. throughout the first brew time. And then as it drops down to the bottom chamber, which you're going to see right here, it's going to filter through the cloth filter. So you kind of get the best of both worlds. So you get a really rich flavored coffee,
mm-hmm.
but you get a really nice clean flavored coffee too, because you have that filter there as well. So it's kind of like the mixture of two different methods that people really enjoy.
It's very, I mean, watching it is really spellbinding. It's really, really neat.
And it impresses
neat.
People.
It looks
everyone's
like
watching
the
me right now. So,
the movie Sherlock Holmes when he's in mixing his little poisons and things and all the beakers
yeah,
and all
right.
that.
There's no poison in his coffee, I promise
no,
you.
No, no, no.
All right, so now the first coffee, but all the coffees we're tasting are off of the same bean, yes?
Correct, same bean. We're going to have the same bean prepared different ways.
Okay, great.
And so we'll see how the same coffee prepared different ways will actually bring out different flavors to it. So.
Okay, so you're going to pour them all at once so we can taste them all at once, or how do you want us to do it?
I want you guys to taste the Eva Solo first, and it's cooled down now, so you can really, actually, when the coffee's cool down, you really start tasting a lot of the flavors out of it. So I'll pass these out now.
We're going to taste it during the break.
Okay, great. Oh, is it break time, Andy?
It's break time.
All right, well, right on time. This is David and Nikki Nels with Foodie and the Beast. I'm going to be sipping my coffee. I think I'll have a donut now. We'll be back in just a sec.
Coffee, beer, and donut.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio. Join me this week for my special guest, Len Wolf, president of The Wolf Group, an international tax and investment advisory firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
Hi, this is Brooks Like of the Washington Capitals.
Back down to Like on the right side. Joe Ward in the circle. A chance for Like. He scores! Top cheese pass Crawford, 3:19 to go in the first period. Caps 2, Chicago nothing.
Catch every minute of Caps hockey right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and online at federalnewsradio.com.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon Family Groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON.
Did you know that organ and tissue transplants save thousands of lives each year? This 2012, make the decision to save lives by becoming an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Registering is easy. Do it whenever obtaining or renewing your driver's license. Or register online at beadonor.org. That's beadonor.org. This is Hillary Howard. I registered to be a donor and have the heart on my driver's license to prove it. Join me and register today.
Thank you.
Are we back?
We're back.
Well, I'm busy looking at food here. All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nels. And we've got Mary Kong sitting here with a gorgeous noodle and beef dish. Why don't you, Mary, why don't you, first of all.
It's not beef. It's lamb.
It's, yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, I thought he said beef.
No.
I was like, no.
No, she drinks a lot. All right, so I think I said beef.
Just coffee.
So tell everybody about your dish. Okay. And you're working with Anthony Lombardo, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, well.
I made a pretty standard Cantonese dish.
Okay.
I grew up with it. It's my family. It's a roast. Normally, we would serve a roast pork rice noodles, but since it's lamb, so I made a Chinese barbecue roast lamb, and I paired it with rice noodles.
I'm going to pass it over to
the judge. He can't wait to take it away from you.
No.
But no, lamb is not traditionally used in a lot of Chinese cooking, correct?
No.
But how did you feel? And what did you?
Why don't you have sheep? You got pasta, you got rice, you got. Why no sheep? They just never brought sheep.
No sheep.
Well, we got to get some over there.
I think they have sheep now.
Do you?
We like cow.
Right, cow.
And cows and chickens. And pigs.
And pig.
Yeah.
All right, so what is Chef Lombardo going to be doing to ramp this up?
It's a really simple dish. I don't think he's doing much. We're trying to take it easy. And it's, like I said, it's a really easy dish to make. There's only about 5 ingredients outside of making the lamb. Well, so
you got Nick Stefanelli digging in. But my opinion is the most important.
Now, when they asked you to do it, were you like, I know exactly what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to think about it? How'd you come up with what you're doing?
When I do cook, I'm a lazy cook, I have to admit.
Okay.
So I tend to stick to recipes that
Something
are just
wrong
easy
with being
to make.
A lazy cook.
I don't have, you know, I don't have the time, you know? So I like to stick to recipes that require very few ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And so I immediately thought of this dish because I grew up with it. I love it. It's one of my favorite Chinese recipes. And it's a real crowd pleaser. I wanted to make something that a lot of people could relate to and understand. Nothing too crazy, nothing too scary.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this would be the perfect recipe.
It's really yummy.
Nick Stefanelli's got his
really
work
help.
Cut out for
those noodles are really
noodles
good.
Yeah, I was going to say, Russell's dish is great. Your dish is great. It's going to be tough. I hope there's no blood. You know what I mean?
Only from the lamb.
Okay.
Only from the lamb.
And how much lamb? And what did you do with all that lamb? So how much did you, like, did you just chop it up, put some in the freezer? I mean, what did you do with all of it?
Initially, I also got a 7-pound boneless leg of lamb, which is the size of a human head.
Right.
It's very heavy. And so I only made half of it because it was just, there was so much of it. So luckily, I had some in the freezer.
Okay, that's good. Today. So did they debone it for you?
Yeah.
So it came without the bone.
Yeah. Okay. That would have been messy if they did not.
Well,
I know.
Before you go, leave your address and we'll be happy to come by. All right. Nick, did you get a taste? Mm-hmm. Oh, he's ready.
He's ready.
You know, right. Howard Stern is now a judge on Dancing with the Stars.
Is he really?
Get your own, you know, your own food show.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Yeah, all right.
Makes sense. Okay, let's go back to the milk coffee while our next guest come on in.
Hello.
All right, so we tasted this coffee.
So what do you think?
I think it's still, I'm not a big coffee drinker. I'm the tea girl here,
but
he is.
I'll tell you what I think, because I am a big coffee drinker.
I'm sure you will tell me what you think.
It's smooth.
Smooth.
I mean, a lot of coffees, and without naming names, a lot of sort of premium designer coffees are very bitter. I know how to kiss up to the guests. But they're very bitter. You know, they're very acidic and all that. And this is smooth and nice, and I love it.
It's great. Yeah, it's great that you mentioned acidity, because this coffee actually has a lot of acidity in it, but it's a nice acidity. So it's kind of more of like a citric acidity. You can talk about acidity in different ways, either, you know, citric or, you know, malic, even acidic as well, too. This has more of like a smooth, kind of more of like an orange peel taste to it. So the Evasol will really kind of draw that out, and hopefully you kind of got like a kind of a rich kind of mouthfeel to it as well, too. So in coffee, we talk about mouthfeel, you know, kind of the taste of or the feel of whole milk in your mouth versus skim milk and that kind of thing as well, too. So this would be more towards the line of like whole milk.
All right. Okay. Now, are you going to pour the next one?
I'm going to pour the next one,
Your science experiment is
all
over.
Right. Science experiment
will,
is over.
That will come back
over.
So cool. While you're doing that, let's talk about the Annapolis Food and Wine Festival.
Absolutely.
What do you say?
Well, why don't we introduce the people who are doing it?
Jim Barthold is here. He's the creator of this festival, right? It came out of your fertile mind, yes?
Well, I guess so. I guess you have to blame me.
Be sure. We're on the radio. And he's here with Owen Connors, and Owen is a sommelier. We'll talk. He's got a really interesting background. But first, let's just start with you, Jim. Tell us about the event. Let's get the umbrella.
Well, the event is going to be a food and wine festival. It's going to be at the Marriott Waterfront Hotel in downtown Annapolis. It's the only hotel in Annapolis that's right on the waterfront. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be in the ballroom. And it's going to feature about 22 area restaurants, each of which is coming up with their own specialties as far as food appetizer portions are concerned. And we've got 16 wineries, or rather wine suppliers, with wines from all over the country and in some cases abroad. And we have live music, and we have seminars, which are going to be given by Owen. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be from noon until 6 in the evening.
Okay.
And it's going to be a wonderful time.
So since we're in D.C., and maybe a lot of people down here are not really familiar with the restaurants that would participate in this kind of event, who are some of the restaurants that are participating?
Well, we've got a lot of Annapolis's finer restaurants. We have the Bertucci's. We have... God, you caught me a little left-footed here.
Okay.
You have Red Wine Bar. You have Crush Wine Bar.
Okay.
You have Vin 909, Cafe Normandy.
Okay.
Piccolo, Restaurant Piccolo. Mm-hmm. So everybody that's basically downtown.
Okay, and they're all participating in it. And they're doing little dishes. Tell me, like, what they're...
Yes, they're all preparing their own individual dishes that will be served at the tables.
And that's a long time, from noon to 6. So they'll just be offering that all day.
Lots of food.
All day.
Lots of food.
So let's talk
great,
about
great
value. Owen, what you're doing. And let's talk about your background, because you got... I read your bio. It's pretty impressive. There are even words in there I can't speak, because they're in French. So... How'd you get here from? You are originally from Waterford, Ireland. That I do know.
That is correct.
A long journey to Annapolis, Maryland. How did that happen?
A girl.
Oh,
as usual.
All right.
No,
they are in trouble. You know, we could do a whole radio show on that problem.
I traveled throughout Europe, mainly working in the restaurant business, always with a wine background, and ended up in the Caribbean for a while in Grand Cayman.
I saw that. Nice.
And then moved up to Connecticut to work for a very small little fine wine company, and did that for 7 years. And now down to Maryland, and I work in Maryland and D.C.
Wait a minute, where was the girl?
She's still with me.
Oh, well,
yes,
right.
Yes.
Right. Everybody's like, yay!
So what are you doing at the show? What's your role?
I'm conducting 3 seminars. They'll be spaced out over the period of the afternoon. They're kind of first-come, first-served basis, limited to about 20 people, and I'm going back to the basics of wine. So the first seminar is going to be Wine 101, how to taste wine. Everybody knows how to drink wine, but does anybody really know how to properly taste wine? So we're going to talk about that. What all the little intricacies of wine, what these sommeliers are talking about when they're getting pencil lead and grapefruit and
tobacco.
Any of that thing, we'll explain that. The second seminar is going to be about the top six grapes, the main grapes, Chardonnay, Pinot Grigio.
Are there tastings in these seminars?
Yes, we're going to taste wines right there in front. The first seminar, you'll have four wines. The second seminar, you'll have six wines. Mm-hmm. And then the last seminar is pairing wine with
food. I have to say, this is a six-hour event. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot going on. It's $35 ticket, am I correct?
Yes, that's right.
That reasonable. Ain't bad.
No, it's very reasonable. Because
I'm cheap, and that sounds good to me.
That's true. You are. No.
Ow. So, you know, the worst thing is when you set yourself up like that.
Listen,
the ball,
if you give it to me on a silver platter, I am going to take it. What can I tell you?
I'd say cheap. I'd say careful. But okay.
It's all a matter of how you look at it. Now, you brought in two wines today.
Yes, I brought
in lots of wine glasses.
You had lots of wine glasses because what I'd like to do, I'm going to start pouring. What I'd like to do is we have two Sauvignon Blancs. We have one from Paso Robles in California, and we have another Sauvignon Blanc called Vavasour from New Zealand.
Okay. You know, Paso Robles is coming to town. They're doing this huge thing here in D.C. in a couple of weeks.
Paso Robles is an amazing little area, and the winery that we're going to taste is Justin, which is one of the first wineries in the area. Back when they started in the early 80s, there were 10 wineries. Now there are over 700.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to taste two wines side by side, and this is kind of a little bit like the coffee. We're going to kind of taste every... You shouldn't say you don't like Sauvignon Blanc or you don't like Chardonnay. You just haven't found one you don't like yet.
You like it. I'm all right with that.
There's a little bit of, there's something for everybody, and what you'll do is taste the intricacies and smell the intricacies of the difference between the two wines.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, Jim, I got a question for you. When you do these events, do you find that most of your, because, you know, we're here in D.C., and Annapolis is really not that much of a drive. It's probably a 25, 30-minute drive once you get on, you know, 95. So do you get a lot of traffic out of D.C. and Baltimore, or is it mostly Annapolitans?
Well, we really do. It's interesting how much people love to come to Annapolis. It's Annapolis really is a town apart. It's equidistant from two major cities, Baltimore and Washington, but it's really a little town or a small town. And it's got that waterfront colonial, you know, brick ambiance. And people just love to come there, and we derive the bulk of our audience comes from the greater Washington metropolitan area.
So it's not a local crowd. Well,
it isn't strictly.
If you look at the price of this event, I'm back to price, but there's a lot of value here compared to some of the events up here that are much more expensive. That's a good way to spend the day.
Absolutely.
Plus,
it's so beautiful out there.
Yeah.
It's such a gorgeous area.
I would recommend that people go ahead and, if they're interested in coming to the event, buy their tickets online because I'm afraid we are going to sell out.
Did you sell out last year?
We did.
Okay.
I've got it. It's AnnapolisFoodAndWineFestival.com.
Everything's spelled out.
See, look at that. I'm with you.
All right, Owen, I know you're still pouring. Let everybody help themselves. Everybody in studio, pour your own wine. Everybody help themselves.
We got 1,000 people.
I want to get to what we're tasting here. Tell us what we're doing and how you want
so
us to do
it. So the first wine I poured, you should keep it on your right side. And so we know which is which. So the first wine is from the Vavasour family in New Zealand in the Marlborough region. And the main trait that goes through New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs is this gooseberry grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
And
I can smell the grapefruit.
Yeah, you get that right off the nose.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in this one, too, you get stone fruit, a little tropical. You get a little bit of... mango or apricot, a little bit.
That's very.
There's a lot of minerality in it, though, because that's the reason, you know, the region,
yes.
Right, and
Marlborough,
how it's grown.
Yes, Marlborough definitely has a lot of minerality in their wines. And the second wine is from obviously a much warmer area, Paso Robles, but they're higher elevations, so they keep the wine from becoming too fat and keeps a little bit of the acidity in there. But you're getting more tropical fruit from the. From Justin.
Well, I really exemplify, like when you said don't make an overall statement, I really don't like Sauvignon Blancs from New Zealand or Australia, really, because I find the minerality just too tangy.
Much.
It just does not appeal to my palate personally.
Have you? And then
go ahead, try to convince me. Pick another one. Tell me.
And that's where you should try Sauvignon Blancs in the Loire region in France.
Which
I love. Yes. So there is a Sauvignon Blanc out there for
right,
you.
Just not that region for me.
Exactly, exactly. And people make blanket statements like, I don't drink Pinot Noir, I don't drink Cabernet. You know, you will find one from somewhere that you actually do like, because they change so dramatically from area to area depending on how they're made. So.
Well, basically, it's never say never.
Exactly.
Right? We got a break. Okay, on that note, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the wish wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today, or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
Carmine's, New York's legendary family-style Italian restaurant, is also here in D.C., serving up huge platters of real good, no-kidding Italian food in 9 private dining rooms. It's like a trip to a big Italian family dinner, with extra-large portions of antipasti, pasta, seafood, and meat entrees served up on huge sharing platters, all reasonably priced. Carmine's is just the way it used to be at Grandma's house, if your grandma was a real no-kidding Italian. Carmine's on 7th Street near the Verizon Center. Anywhere else is forget about it. Call them at 202-737-7770.
My advice to you, until they upgrade the system, simply turn off PhotoStream on your iPhone the next time you're in Vegas, and then it doesn't go anywhere.
Okay.
Or else, change your Vegas behavior, or else, don't take pictures while you're in Vegas. So now, once you've deleted all the photos in the PhotoStream, you've got to then go to the camera roll and delete those individually.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Hi, welcome back to Foodie and the Beast with
You're
David and Nikki.
You're speaking with your mouth full.
Chewing.
That's so obnoxious.
Do I look Jewish? Okay. Thank you. All right, so we're back with... I'm swallowing. We're back talking about the Annapolis Food and Wine Festival.
Why don't you sip a coffee? Wash it down.
Why don't you just be quiet? Talking. Put a sock in it. So, Owen, we've got to wrap up in a couple of minutes. What else should we know about your wine seminars and about the wines that we'll be tasting there?
We'll be tasting the wines. There will be over 100 wines at the actual show.
Wow.
And we will be tasting wines in addition to those at the seminar. So wines that are not available at the show will be in the seminar too. So another nice idea to sign up as soon as you can, because it's on a first come first serve basis, so it's going to sell out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. And Jim, just quickly tell everybody where they can find information and learn about the event and buy tickets.
Okay, the website is the name of the event spelled out, all of the letters, Annapolis Food and spelled out winefestival.com. Mm-hmm. And on there is the ability to buy tickets in advance online and charge them. And there's also a telephone number that you can call if you want to register for these seminars. We will do that with a telephone call. Mm-hmm. And that's on the website. And the event is Saturday, the 10th of March, and it's from noon to 6 at the Marriott Waterfront Hotel in downtown
Annapolis. And it's $35 for 100 wines and food for 6 hours. I would go.
All right.
I'm going.
You go.
I'm there.
Have a good time.
Can I borrow $35?
Yeah. I was waiting for that. All right. Thank you both for coming in.
You want to bring Nick in? Nick? It's All right, Nick so Stefanelli.
Nick, I think what we should talk about first is that you are a competing chef in this event next week, and that you're working with Lauren DeSantis, mm-hmm. who is another blogger. And tell us about how you're working together with her and, you know, what people can expect at the event next week.
Well, we've been back and forth talking about how we can tweak the recipes for how we do things in the restaurant, because mm-hmm. cooking at home and cooking in a restaurant are two complete different beasts, so to speak.
Put that deep baritone voice up on the microphone, son. He's only been on the show 8 times.
Right. So from that, you know, we're just going to go and do a trial and error type of thing of how we do when we would taste the dish regularly, mm-hmm. and then just go and what we feel is going to be the best way to present the dish and get it to get it to where it's supposed to be.
Okay.
So, but all the dishes that are here are all great too. So that's the other thing.
You tasted them both. You got to pick a winner.
Well, wait, before he picks a winner, I want to talk about the event on March 4th. So what can people expect at this event? How much is it? And then can we just talk just a tiny, tiny bit about Lamb Jam coming up in May?
Yes.
This has something to do with that, correct?
This is an interlude into Lamb Jam.
Okay.
You can get your tickets for this at fansoflambdc.com. Mm-hmm. The event's from 3 to 5 on November 4th. No, sorry, March 4th. Wow.
Right.
time really flies, huh? But this is then the interlude to Lamb Jam, which is going to be held at Eastern Market on May 5th. It's a Monday evening. So, but it's a taste around format. And this is good because we got to really work with the bloggers and really develop that relationship and kind of they get to work with us, so to speak, too. So we're bringing them into the fire, and they're on the other side of the coin now. So it was a fun event to be a part of. So it's really going to be interesting to see what happens on Sunday.
Okay, one last one.
What happened today.
Mary and Russell, I'm going to ask you both to come up to the mic, because I am curious. What was it like working with the chefs? I mean, given that you both write about chefs so often, did this open your eyes to anything different? You know, like what it's like to be in a restaurant or you know, was there some sort of education that you walked away with? Mary?
Yeah, that I want to be hands-off.
I want nothing to do with it. What about you, Russell? Because I know you're a big cook at home. You cook a lot.
Well, it'll certainly make me be a nicer critique.
Okay.
It was good.
I think it's like mission accomplished.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of this thing. Get you people off my back.
They sort of that experience of seeing what's available to you in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. You know, he's John's doing some really interesting things with the nachos, and it's certainly something that makes me think about what actually goes on. So
excellent. All right. Okay, before Nick, you want Nick to announce it now,
Nick
or do you
want to
do the coffee
first? Let's stay on it and let's have Nick announce the winner. Nick, you have to pick one.
I have to pick
you
one.
You have to pick one.
It's all this next.
And I want you to know something. I don't want to, you know, Russell's standing right next to you, so that's a problem. And Mary's Mary gives a massage like she's a pro. So you have to weigh the pros and cons of getting a good massage or getting a fork stuck in you by Russell who's sitting right here.
Don't say it's a tie. That's a cop out.
He's like, damn.
This is a difficult one.
Oh,
no, it is. Because both the dishes had their own thing. So everything was executed right. I like the flavors in the Chinese dish, but I've never had rarebit sauce, so this was also a good dish too. But I'm gonna go with the noodles.
Aww. He's just being a gentleman.
Yeah.
That's all.
Good job. The noodles are delicious, and I will say the nachos were really tasty.
The
great thing
sauce
to make
is a great
for
move.
Like something like tonight for the watching the Oscars. Like it's a great pick dish.
Oscars
it's awesome. Yeah, the Oscars are on tonight. Get with it, Nick.
You live in a bubble, pal. Yes, the Oscars are tonight. All right, you know what? Before we move back and talk LaMille, I just want to quickly thank the folks that make this show possible.
Okay.
The people at Georgetown Bagelry, at Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's Rustico, Evening Star, Tallulah, Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley, mm-hmm. and Church Key.
Yes.
Our friends at the Two Founding Farmers downtown in Potomac.
Mm-hmm.
And the folks at Modus Hospitality, Noti Bianchi Dish and Circle Bistro are their three great restaurants. Bethesda Central Farm Market, which is open all year round on Elm Street in Bethesda. Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers. And Carmine's. Forget about it. Who could forget Carmine's? I love it.
Okay,
we were just down there yesterday. All right. So, Chris, you ready? You ready to talk coffee?
I'm always ready.
All right,
okay,
man.
Okay, what is our last example of the coffee you make at LaMille?
Our last example is the hand drip. So, again, by the company called Hario.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very easy way to make coffee. Again, it's very similar to automatic drip, where essentially instead of the you know, the actual brewer dispersing water, you are the machine. So you're dispersing the water. And what that means is that you just have more time to kind of work with the coffee, pull out more flavors to it. But this cup will be very clean tasting because it's paper filter filtering everything out. It won't be as heavy since the water is kind of running through the coffee grinds as it's brewing. It's not actually sitting there and saturating with it. But still a really nice clean cup of coffee, still mellow body, probably more of that 2% mouthfeel versus, you know, the wet whole milk mouthfeel from the Eva Solo. So.
Now, when you come to LaMille, do you order coffee? I mean, we've been there, but can you order it in the different way? And how do
people
figure that out?
It's a lot through just education, and it's really nice that you kind of brought that up. We've been doing a couple different coffee clinics, very similar to like a wine tasting, where we invite guests to come into the space, check out, see what we have going on, talk about these different methods, and see how they bring out different flavors and notes in the coffee as well.
Are the clinics hands-on?
The clinics are hands-on. So some of them are. Obviously, the one with the siphon and the Bunsen burner, I couldn't really throw it out into the world and see what happens.
I would not let a lot of people play with that. That is an accident
waiting to
happen. I'm
pretty sure the security would have my neck for it.
Right.
Yeah. But the hand drip one that people do at home mostly, we definitely did that hands-on. We're coming up with some more in March, in a couple weeks in March. We're doing them on Saturdays, 10 to 12.
Okay.
And the first one's on March 10th. So we'll be.
And how much does it cost?
$10. So with $10, you'll get to try coffee and have a food pairing as well too, and you get to hear me talk. So
let's talk quickly. We have about a minute. Tell us about the kind of foods you guys are offering there,
because
you are doing some delicious things there.
We are. So we have an amazing, amazing team backing me and my coffee. Most notably, the pastry team, headed by executive chef Chris Ford, who just won
Food and Wine
Best New Pastry Chef. He won East and also the People's Choice. So
very
Chris
happy
was
to have
here
him.
At Rogue, wasn't he?
He was at Rogue and he was at Tremors, but now he's at Wit and Wisdom.
Right.
So sorry, ladies, I get to see him every single day. So it's very nice. But he prepared for us today. We have this everything cookie, which has pretty much everything inside of it: chocolate chip, butterscotch, vanilla bean, potato chips, pretzels, and fiddle faddle, all in one cookie. And we also have these amazing
fiddle faddle is popcorn, right?
Kind of like a
caramel
cracker
corn.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And we also have the brioche macaroon. So we actually dehydrated a brioche, made a flour out of it, and mixed it in with almond flour to make the macaroon. And in the middle is actually cassis buttercream. So very, very delicate.
Boy, so not a lot of work at all to goes into that.
Exactly.
We're going to have to wrap, but I want to make sure everybody knows that this fabulous place called La Mille that we've been talking about is right inside the Four Seasons Baltimore, which itself is...
It's really glorious.
Nikki and I spent the weekend down there a couple of weeks ago and had dinner at
Not the weekend. We did an overnight.
It seemed like a weekend.
Okay.
And we had dinner at Wit and Wisdom, which is also a Michael Mina restaurant. Mm-hmm. And then we had our breakfast at La Mille, and it was awesome.
And we got to hang out with you, which was fun.
Right. So go to the coffee clinics. All right.
Well, wait. Before you wrap it up, first of all, I feel bad. Next time we do like one of these little competitions in studio, I'm bringing a tiara and a sash because Mary should be walking around with some roses in hand because she did
win.
Russell,
you are so lucky you lost.
He would rock it. I'm sorry. He would totally rock it.
Also would look better with the
team. Let's thank everybody quickly. Chris Fulton, Nick Stefanelli, Mary Kong, Russell Warnick, Rob Valencia, Bill DeRosier, Courtney Kissel, Jim Barthold, and Owen Connors. Thanks for coming in.
Everybody, thanks for taking time off today. And
next week,
we are going to have so much fun in here. We actually have another battle going on. The Artini, the great cocktail event that the Corcoran does every year. They are launching in March, and we're bringing in a whole bunch of mixologists. They're going to be shaking up cocktails in here. And also, have you been over to Blue Duck Tavern recently? They've got a new chef and a new pastry chef, and they have this fabulous tea sommelier, and we're going to be checking that all out in studio.
So that's it.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us today, and have a delicious week.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting.